101.5 and 1480 AM studios. This is the Gregeth and Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
Welcome into Gregeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. I am Nick Gregeth, Bill Hooks, Willie J, hanging out with you on a Monday, getting you ready. Home underdog Monday. Is that what we're calling this?
Oh, my goodness.
Indiana coming in, home underdog Monday.
Oh, boy, the times have changed a little bit, huh?
Wow, big shift in that line. Wasn't it Nebraska by 3 last week?
Didn't
it open up like the 5-point swing? Wow.
Not saying back.
I want to know if that's the public or if that's the sharps.
Not saying back the truck up, but here we go.
Wow. Back the truck up, what do you mean? You going to put some money down?
Well, Nebraska's got a great chance this week, I think. I really do.
I really do. Can't imagine how big your truck would be, Hooks.
Coming off a bye week? Wow. Ready to go? Let's go.
I know. Got a lot to get to around Nebraska. A lot of rumors flying around. We'll talk about the status of Wandale Robinson, status of Martinez. Again, Huskers are +2 at home. I got to think, as that game gets close, depending on a couple things today when Coach Frost meets with the media and how he answers certain questions, I got to think the sharps are going to be heavy on Nebraska as a home dog. +2, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you have to imagine.
Wow. But we'll get to that in a minute. Also, a huge, crazy weekend in the NFL. If you are a Chiefs fan, this was a wonderful weekend for you, even though your quarterback got hurt, but we even have updates on that. We've got a lot of discussion around the league. Some teams, I think we're about to have another head coach fired, potentially, in the NFL down in Atlanta.
Wow. 1-6.
That's a train wreck.
Fire.
We have got Buffalo Bills rolling right along. The 49ers, ugly win against Washington, but W is a W in the NFL. Got it done. Live to fight another day. So a lot of stuff going on, and you can get in the show, 402-466-3776. Hey, by the way, there was a strong push this weekend. I was up in Papillion, and then I was over in, gosh, what part of it? It was like 120th, and how about Tranquility Park, like 120th and Fort in Omaha, all weekend playing in a couple charity softball tournaments. And there was a major push going on for there to be a 13 now instead of a 12. Because a lot of people out there were saying, man, you got more than 12. It's at least 13 now. I was like, I don't want it. Let's not get.
No, the 12s, it's the stitch, man.
Yeah, let's not get too excited here. I guarantee there's only 12. You're just part of it. You know, that's what that means. Like, I can't imagine at any given point we have more than 12 people who enjoy listening
not
to this
a
show.
Chance.
Right? But I did want to say thank you because we got out there and helped raise a ton of money over the weekend. There was this little boy. I tweeted out a photo real fast. A little dude. His name's Drew. And this man is one of the strongest people I've ever met. He's got this thing. It's called a Batten disease where essentially like it's I don't even want to start trying to describe it. It's like the way they describe it to us. It's like think of like some of the worst diseases that someone could be born with or develop. It's like he's got four of them at the same time. Little dude. He's can't see, but he got into a game and got his inside the park home run. I think he ran me down. I was on second base. I think he caught up to me before I got to home plate. Little man was flying, and we were able to raise a lot of money to hopefully get him on a list so maybe they can help him out. Or if anything, at least, come up with some ideas on how they can help out other kids. So very exciting. It was a fun time up there. Got to hang out with some great people. A lot of people said to say hi to you, by the way.
Nice.
Good dudes up there. One of the guys I was hanging out with is good friends with Jay Foreman. So I told him next time he sees Foreman, because I guess they golf all the time together. And I said, when are you going to see him next? He said, later this week. I said, when you see Foreman, make sure he knows we're friends and tell him that at softball, Nick wouldn't shut up about how he's going to destroy you in a game of one-on-one basketball.
Ooh.
And I said, and Foreman will go nuts. He will talk so much trash.
He'll get that little laugh first, and then he'll go off.
Yes. And which, by the way, though, old Jay Foreman, he should be on here coming up in about an hour. So we'll talk to him coming off the bye, what his expectations are. I know he's not happy that Nebraska is an underdog in this game.
Saw his tweet.
So we will talk to him about that. And Friday, I went to Pioneers. I was golfing.
Yeah, how'd that go in the windy day in the Pioneers world?
Look, you already know I can't get out of a tee box anyways. So then you add on par 5, might have been par 18 when that wind was blowing directly in your face. Friday's I felt like I went 12 rounds in a boxing match by the time I got done golfing that day.
You're exhausted, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Not just from swinging, but the wind.
It was the wind. It was all the wind, man. It was brutal, but it was a lot of fun. So it was good. I feel like I haven't been here for a century. That's how long these last 3 days have felt. But I'm excited to be back hanging out with you guys. Let's start with this. So, full disclosure, this weekend – it was a bye week for Nebraska. I needed some vacation, so I took Friday off. As you guys know, I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. I assume you guys had a much better show than when I am here.
It was pretty solid, huh? It was pretty good.
I'm excited. How's DDT? Is he good?
He was good.
All right, good.
He was good. Matt was good.
Good. I'll tell you this, man. This weekend was all about hanging out with friends, playing softball. My phone was like basically shut off from Twitter, the internet, the whole nine yards. So this morning I get up and start reading stuff, and all of a sudden it's, hey, I've got 10 text messages. Is Mo Washington off the team?
I got 5, easily.
Right. And I'm thinking, is who now what's? I mean, I know he's been having some issues.
Sheba, what?
Right. And I've been told from people close to the team and the situation that practice has been severely limited for him lately. And they didn't go into why. But he's been playing. I'll be curious coming up later today what Coach Frost says when he is directly asked that by the media. 1:30 is when he has his 1:30? Press conference.
12:30, isn't it?
12:30.
I think it's 12:30.
Didn't they push it back today?
Did they? Maybe. I didn't see
there was a big email that went out.
I must have missed it.
But regardless, we're not allowed to play it. So I don't care if it's 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter. Not to us. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to play that thing on the air. If you do, in theory, you could be in deep trouble. I'm not about that life, so we're not playing it anyways. We'll have cuts from it tomorrow, maybe, if it's entertaining.
Yeah, if it's entertaining.
Or we'll grab tiny cuts from it and make rejoins where it sounds like he's talking about us. I don't know, but Frost will be addressing the media here a little later today. And normally it's 12:30, but I'm pretty sure it's pushed back to 1:30 today. So if you would have asked me, actually, I'm going to ask you guys.
Okay.
What kind of impact, let's say Mo Washington is no longer with the team, and we don't know if he is or isn't, but let's say he isn't, and he's unavailable. What kind of impact does that have on the team moving forward?
Should I ask the question back, what impact has he had the last 3 weeks anyway? He's had nothing. He's had nothing, honestly, from the performance he's had and the demeanor in which he's conducted himself on the team. I mean, he was suspended for a half already. That's the second half he's been suspended for already. We've said it before that this kid is a very talented kid, and Coach Frost has said when he's on the field, it's different in the offense. But this kid has been in the news too many times for the wrong reasons for us. And at some point, you got to remove the bad eggs. And if you're Coach Frost, you talk about culture and all this stuff, that you look at a kid, and not one kid can change it in a bad way, but it's come to a point where it comes to a head and things have to change for me.
Frost, 1:30, yep. He'll be on at 1:30, so you'll be able to see tweets about it and stuff like that. I agree with you. He's done nothing, ever since he started getting hurt, but then also, you know, the suspension that came, apparently, from what I've been told, again, by people around the team, there was a situation with not making it to a walkthrough. So,
And then multiple people tell us after McCollum kicked the winning field goal against Northwestern, he went back to the locker room and didn't celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that. I mean, it's just so much stuff.
Here's the situation. So Nebraska is coming off what? A loss that was embarrassing, right?
Yep.
To Minnesota. It's funny because Minnesota, it felt like manhandled Nebraska. And if I told you a team manhandled another team, that score's usually in the 50s, right?
Yep.
What did Minnesota score? 34 points.
34-7, I believe.
You know, I mean, a little bit of that was, I think, Fleck called off the dogs at the end of the game. But still, you know, you call it manhandling. I actually think, and I agree with what Coach Frost said originally, we brought it up on the show multiple times before he said it, but it was more players not being in the right spots on defense and guys on offense just not. Again, I'll go back to it. The play calling for me is what start. That's where I start. And then I can get to other players and Mm-hmm. Why can't you get off the press? That kind of stuff. But I don't, like I was talking to people this weekend, you know, you sit around two softball tournaments. That's all you're going to do is talk Nebraska football.
Yep.
And I just kept asking everybody, because there was coaches there. There was all sorts of stuff. And I just asked them, I go, guys, you tell me then, you know, why is it that he in past places has been able to get, you know, Joe Schmuck, who is never going to play in the NFL, is never going to be all Big Ten. He's your fifth receiver, but he can get him 30 catches in a season and get him open. But he can't get these other guys open. There's some weird disconnect, non-trust thing. And if your coach doesn't trust the players, how are they supposed to trust themselves to do the job? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my read on it. So I look forward to seeing this week if some of that's changed. You know, if maybe, because he's going to have to.
You can't keep doing the same things that we've been doing.
Well, let's be real. If Wandale's not in, if it was a high ankle sprain or something and he's not playing, which I'm going to guess he's not playing. That's my opinion. I don't know that. We're going to find out probably today. And I'm sure it'll be more of a he's day-to-day. I bet you that's what we'll hear, just like everybody
else.
And
if he does, what's the impact of the injury still?
But if he's not playing, you got J.D. Spielman. Wandale's out. Someone's got to come in for that spot. If Mo Washington, who is the only other dude you trusted all year to get the ball to, isn't playing, if, then as a coaching staff, you're going to have to trust your guys, and it comes down to, and I always draw it back, and I hope you guys take this as me complimenting our staff. I always take it back to compare it to the Chiefs and Andy Reid in the sense that he has a very imaginative offense and is known as an innovator. Scott Frost, known as an innovator on offense. You look at his play calling days at Oregon, what he did down in UCF. He earned that title.
Mm-hmm.
Had not seen it here in Nebraska, other than I think like four games last year at the end of the season, five games. Not been super innovative yet. And I compare him to Andy Reid as a compliment, and I want to make sure I point that out. But Andy Reid in his career is something like 8-1 with his backup quarterback starting, right? He's out here with the Chiefs. You could see, and I can't remember who I was. I think it was Dane I was talking to about this. No, it wasn't. It was Wash It. There was a play in the last game before Mahomes got hurt where they ran out their third-string running back, sent him up the sideline on a wheel route. It's the exact same play they ran the week before, ran him out there. It was the only time that running back was on there. A week before, it was a fade up the sideline to the running back for like 40 yards. So this week, they run him out there. He runs that little wheel route. Oh, here comes that linebacker. Yep. He's going over to get that wheel route. Well, all of a sudden, in this same little route combo, Andy Reid now has his second string tight end, who subbed in at the same time, come running across the field underneath it with no one covering
him. Nobody covering him.
That's the kind of stuff that Frost in the past has done with his offense, where you set yourself up for success in the future, not just in that game. You might run that play, or you know the other team saw it. So you know next time that you go out there, they're going to be ready for that, and you add a little wrinkle to it, and all of a sudden you got Blake Bell, for God's sakes, who's been in and out of this league multiple times, making clutch catches for the Chiefs all over the place. Frost can do that with his players. Mm-hmm. I have nothing but faith that he can do it. It says he trusts himself and his guys to do it.
Yeah, but it just goes back to what we've been talking about. Be who you are.
I'm
excited. Be you are. That's who you have to
maybe
be.
Maybe this week's
you
the
can't,
week. I hope so.
You know, and it's one of those things that the fact is, you know, we talk about this in like college basketball a lot. You see teams that run up and down, and when they slow it down, they get worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you dumbed it down a little bit to your personnel, but you don't practice that. You practice fast. I'm assuming that they practice fast. They practice all these things you're talking about. They practice, and then they don't do it, and it confuses, and it slows things down, right? You just got to be true to who you are. And again, I'm going to be happy. I talked about this Friday. I'll be happy. I wouldn't be happy and say, like, we're going to lose every game the rest of the way out. But if we go 6-6, finish up, but we're exactly who we thought we were going to be, fast, you know, more physical, and just doing the things that we're noticing,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be super happy with that. That I'll be able to go, man, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's an identity. We haven't seen that. We saw it, like, the end of last year. It looks nothing close to last year.
Yeah, I hope. So Adrian hopefully will be back this week. We'll find out about that as well. I would say it's either this week or next week that he comes back, just from what I hear about what he's got, what he's dealing with. The biggest things for me, and these will all, you know, I've told you a bunch of times, like you've said, I want to see Frost be Frost. I want to see him scheme other people open. Let's have a couple plays in there for Woodyard or whoever it is to get open, get some yards, right? if at the end of the season, if that's happening, here's what you'll see, okay, by proxy, is you'll see in the second half of the season when he comes back, Martinez will probably be like a plus six in pass percentage from where he is now. So he'd be back up to like 66, 68, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's at 60 right now. So you'll see that. You'll end up seeing Spielman catching his passes that he normally does, but then you're going to get, you know, maybe it's 20 catches, something like that in the last five games, four a game mm-hmm. for like, pick a guy, probably going to be Warner. Could be Woodyard, I don't care. But then you see Woodyard say, if Warner's the guy getting that, he gets, you know, about 12 more catches for the rest of the season yeah. because he's getting three a game. And they're just spreading it around. And I think that's going to be very key to tell you. That's what it'll show and what we'll see, and wins will come with it if indeed all that stuff gets going.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I want to see that identity come through on offense. I just want us to be who we are and see that progression that we were hoping to see from last year to this year that we haven't seen, but jump on it and just get going. Just go fast.
The other thing as well, Nebraska being plus two at home, that's interesting, man. I feel like you'd think Vegas would be jumping all over that, like the sharps. We'll kind of find out. I'll be curious to see what the line is on that in the public. We'll talk to Marco on Thursday about that topic. But again, Nebraska hasn't shown you over the last few games anything to make you feel great, you know, about their prospects. So coming off a bye week, you got to think, as fired up as Frost was coming out of that last game, that, you know, there's been some intensity at practice. We'll see. And then you kind of go from there. Well, can I ask you something real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I heard over the weekend people talking about culture and all that kind of stuff around the team. So... And they were talking about how you still got seniors and juniors who, for the most part, were not recruited by Frost. You have some, you know, you have some guys that he brought in that transferred in, like Noah, that's a senior. You got that defensive tackle Daniels, who's a senior, that Frost brought in. For the most part, mm-hmm. your upper statesmen, your elder statesmen, are all Mike Riley guys. What is that a viable reason, or is that an excuse to you that some of the stuff is going on? That is.
You know, when I've heard that too, and I think it's some of both. And I hate to be on the fence, but I think it's some of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard somebody say the other day about, like, just about, like, our captains, essentially, and things like that, that have been through a lot. Like, what's the most wins they've ever had since they've been here? Right? So when you talk about learning how to win, they don't know how to, in some sorts, because they never have, in a way. Right? And I can see some of that on the field. Frost talked about some of those guys not showing up to play, not wanting to make contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of that that's still there. But at some point, don't you look ahead, look at yourself, look at what's going on, look at the promise that could happen, and you do your best to turn the page within yourself? Because I believe that coaches can only do so much, right? Part of you has got to go, I'm a football player, I'm a person, I want to be a part of some big change. I'm going to step up and show up every mm-hmm. single day. So part of it's half and half for me, because they talk about turning the page a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of these guys haven't turned the page from what they were part of, right? But again, you're a football player. You're an athlete. You're a person, and you want to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the page. Be a part of something.
So I hope there's part of me that hopes that some of this is right. Okay, so part of me is like, boy, I hope it is just that simple, that in a year or two. You know, next year you'll start having maybe a few juniors that are Frost guys, and because they're sophomores this year, and you know, you have guys that are 3 years into the system and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that gets me, and I'm going to use a real simple one for you, like this is a real simple thing. The way the linebackers were over pursuing and in the wrong spots during that Minnesota game,
yep.
Have like Hooksy, I can tell you, I've been doing this show for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
okay. So back to 09. Starting in about 11, linebackers over pursuing and not paying attention to where the hell they're at, or allowing cutback lanes, not having, you know, having dirty eyes, that kind of stuff. That has been a consistent talking point every year since 11.
Mm-hmm.
8 years, three coaches. So if it's as simple as our guys are doing it right, our coaches, and our recruits who are young will be doing it right. They just got to get into place. Then why hasn't that shifted ever? Unless, I guess, in theory, every linebacker coach that's been here has just been wrong, teaching it wrong. So, like, I don't know. There, you know, like, part of me, and maybe I'm being a pessimist now, is like, all right, if it's simply coaching, like, how come you haven't been able to teach, you know, guys to get, I mean, you know, certain these linebackers have all been that are playing have been in this program for 2 years under Frost now, you know, and I think we can all agree our middle linebackers have a pretty damn good coach.
Yeah, absolutely. They
do. Right? We can all agree on that. So why is it happening the way it is? You know, and then how is it going to get, I don't know. That's the frustrating portion.
It's something, it could be, is it that? Is it they don't have the trust in their other peers on defense? Is there some of that? I don't know. It's pure speculation on why. But you're right. It's happening. It's a common theme in this program. Because, I mean, I went back and I watched that Minnesota game. The number of times that we could have stopped them for short gains or no gain.
Mm-hmm.
You can't chart enough to see that. How many times there were. And not to call, like, it was the entire linebacking core. Even our best was out of position a lot in that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, dude. I when you say that, I think JoJo Doman. Like, I don't know. The middle linebackers have been BAD.
They have been.
For the last
few weeks. Not what we thought at all. Not even close to what we thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is on that. Like I told you, man, I like Bo Berry. I like Miller had been playing really well. You know, Honus, actually, and you know I've not been a guy who's a huge Honus guy. And he's been playing really, you know,
solid game. Yeah,
but then this was rough. And the part that I just wish, and I'm looking forward to when this happens. And the guy I would point to, by the way, on this thing is going to be Martinez. But I've been saying forever, Nebraska needs a captain who is vocal, says the right stuff, fires his guys up, but then also physically with what he does, comes up with timely plays. And I think Mo talks the talk, Mo Berry. There hasn't been a lot of him coming up with a huge play that then continues what he's saying and stuff yet. I hope he gets there. But I think it's Martinez, whenever the time comes, that he starts being that leader that is both the audible leader in the team, but also physically dominating stuff to say, follow me. Like, they don't have that guy that goes, follow me, and then everybody goes running out there. And then he just starts wrecking half of the people there. They don't have that dude right now, and they haven't for a long time.
Would you speculate anything within, you name our captains, you got Martinez, Mo Berry, Farnia, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything, maybe, boy, the way the season's gone, that maybe there's enough, I don't want to call them egos, maybe egos on the team that are looking at those three going, well, they've had subpar years. I'm not going to listen, or I'm not listening, or the voice isn't loud enough right now.
Who's been great this year for this team?
Nobody.
Spielman. He's been really good.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm just looking
at JoJo at times has been really good.
Those captains have all had subpar years, right?
Yeah.
Some more than others. At some point, is that voice, because Frost talked about that. We talked about it Friday because on his Sports Nightly show, he talked about leadership and captains. And he asked, I think his quote, with Jay, remind me of it, was it something like, we just need to have better teammates on this football team. Somewhere along those lines, he talked about having better teammates, which led me to believe the fact that there are still some of those people that haven't bought in or aren't listening as much to the leadership group.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. So I'm going to add to your point on that, because another point on this is like that whole unity council that we're supposed to have but don't have one yet. And Frost keeps saying they're not ready. Don't have the guys there. And I don't know if it's because they're waiting to where everybody is a Frost guy, or if, because right now two of the guys are not his recruits.
Yep.
And they're people who are having issues at times in games. I don't know if it's he's waiting for it to be his guys who are seniors that have been in his program for 4 years. But again, so, and tell me if I'm being too hard on this. To me, then that means, you know what? I got captains that I'm going to, in one hand, tell you are good leaders. They're doing everything they can, I think was his quote, to be great leaders, to lead by example, to do, you know, all this stuff. But at the same time, he's not trusting them to run a leadership council on the team. He doesn't trust them enough. So he's got to keep his hands on what's going on there. And the players hear him talk about that because he's going to be asked about that by the Nebraska media, that kind of stuff. And it goes back to what I've been saying this whole time about his play calling as well. And I'm being hard on Scott.
Yeah.
He makes $5 million a year. I think he's going to be wildly successful here. But right now, he's going through some growing pains himself as a coach, and I think he'd be the one to tell you that. But there is, and this is why he makes $5 million a year, and I don't, coaching football, there's got to be a place where he steps back and says, all right, I trust you guys. Now, you can't just do that and then have it continue on how it was. You got to make sure the right foundation's mm-hmm. there and all that stuff. But to me, that's the delicate balance that we're walking right now because, again, I'm just going to say my observation is I see a lot of, and when I say trust, it's not like he doesn't believe that they're going to try to do what he's asking of that.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust that it's going to get executed correctly. So he's kind of everything around this team. He's doing it with you know, gloves on, like little just hold their hand. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to only get the ball to certain guys. I'm not going to do these calls where you, as my fourth string receiver, the primary receiver, because I don't know if you're going to make it there or not. And that's got to change. Well, with the leadership thing, like that's yeah. that went through my head this yeah. weekend.
Well, we talked, and then and when you talk about some of those things, how many times have you heard Frost and staff say this about a kid? They're almost ready to get on the field. Almost ready to get on the field. They're not quite there. Is that part of the trust too? That's mm-hmm. part of it, right? But you and I talked about this. Can't remember what it was, but we said, at what point do you just throw them on the field to find out if they're really ready? Because it's hard to demonstrate that in practice. At some point. Mm-hmm. You're not at full game speed. At what point do you throw, say, the kid that's close? You throw him on the field and you just go play football and find out in game speed. Let him make some mistakes that are correctable mistakes. They fix them and you move on. Some of that's a little frustrating, too, because we heard that for 2 years now, that there's so many kids that are close to be almost getting on the field, but they're not on the field yet.
Yeah. I mean, and part of it is there's no – so in my opinion, and again, I'm going to go back and reiterate this. I said this on Thursday. The fan base needs to understand. Like, I think the fan base needs to operate with this no fear of failure thing too. Like
– well, we've been told that. We haven't seen it. That's how no, they're no, no, operating. No. Know you think?
Yeah, but the fans are afraid of failure. That's what I'm saying.
True.
Like I see your point now. I am so sick and tired of people acting like this thing's over already. Like, oh, we suck. We're not. He should already be great by now. He's a failure. We suck. New coach. What do we do? No. Like, listen, it's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So go lose. I don't care. You know, if you're going to lose, lose.
Lose
but
your
lose
way.
It by being, you know, by building, by being you. And as a fan, I got to have no fear of failure, too. No fear of failure doesn't mean you don't fail, guys. It means I'm going to fail.
But you're playing.
But like- I'm not worried about it because I'm going to learn from it and get better. And like I part of it is, and I'm gonna these are my tent poles on this thing right now, is I think Scott's having a hard time trusting his guys to you know get them open to do things. I think the fan base puts pressure, unneeded right now, pressure on the staff and team to win at a level that we all want them to.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't happen, that's okay. It's not necessarily a failure. It's a learning tool in year two to get better. And by proxy, you know, it all works in a big circle. Mm-hmm. And then I think part of it too, and I'll tell you this no fear of failure stuff that's going on. Half the state's media is shaking in their boots if they say anything critical or anything like that about Coach Frost and them for fear of blowback from the team, but also blowback from fans. Like, there's so much fear of failure going on in this little triangle of what needs to happen in this wonderful fan base and this mm-hmm. amazing university that is just, that's the toxic part of it. But, like, it's just, it's amazing. Like, you can go over the top and be a dipstick like Dirk Chatelain, and it's obvious that he's trying to push people's buttons to make them mad.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just, like, people being worried about sitting here, and I've been for 2 weeks now saying, I think Frost is operating in a fear of failure. Well, no, it's been a month, right? When I see him this offseason and we go to a country show together, I promise you he will not be mad at me for that because it's coming from the right spot.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to get better, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It just is frustrating to me because like it's like everyone is operating in this fear of failure. Like we're all scared to fail, so we're making it so we fail. Like it's so silly to me. It makes no sense. Like, I don't care. If they lose to Indiana this weekend, I honestly don't give a crap as long as I see other guys besides the one playmaker that apparently we might have on the field this week that they've relied on in Spielman. If I see anybody else making plays and it's a close game, I'm going to say, growth, here we go.
Yeah.
Now let's build on it. Instead of boo-hoo, we lost to Indiana. It's year two in a seven-year deal. And don't give me any other... I'm fired up.
No, it's
not. Don't give me any of this other crap that we... What happened?
Dramatico!
Yes! Yes! Don't give me this other crap, too, that he should be great by year two or three. It is a... If, whether he gets there in year four, year three, or year seven, he has 7 years of guaranteed.
Yes.
Okay?
Guaranteed.
And I'm telling you this right now, if he has to, if you guys are telling me he needs to fire people year two on his staff, if he is showing up, that's Mike Riley-esque. Like, that means we got the wrong dude.
Yes.
If he showed up with a bunch of guys that need to be let go. So you better be paying attention to that when you're saying that kind of stuff, because it's asinine.
Dramatico!
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 I'm so glad you remembered that, Willie J. Let's go to Dave, has been on hold. Dave, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Hey, Nick.
Yep.
You know what? A lot of things that you guys say are absolutely 100% correct. I feel like sometimes taking $1 million out of one of my bank accounts and, you know, maybe just start my old radio show, not always, you know, saying the right sort of saying one side, because sometimes the radio announcers, TV, and media are afraid to say something bad because they might lose sponsorships or, you know, ad revenue. But, you know, people are afraid to tell the truth. And, you know, I'm glad you guys are kind of speaking up about that. But I still don't understand why after 7 weeks the players aren't ready. And Bill hit it spot on. It's just, it's ridiculous. How are you going to learn anything if you don't try? I mean, that's like me. If you guys were training me to do your job and you got, okay, Dave, you're going to stand here and watch us for 6 months because you're not ready. You know, that's just, it's just ridiculous. I mean, in my jiu-jitsu class, nobody stands around. The first day, you're learning moves and stuff like that. You're not standing around just watching people. You're doing it, you know, and it's just, but it just kills me. Like, 7 weeks and you can't find another guy out there. It's like, when was the last time Javon McQuitty or Mike Williams even caught a pass?
Game one, Javon McQuitty.
It's just ridiculous, guys. I mean, you know, okay, do like the Dallas Cowboys did. They drafted Troy Aikman. They went, what, 0-16, but the next year they're going to be good. I think Scott's just afraid to lose, or they're afraid to lose because they got this donation thing hanging over their head where if they don't win or look good, then people won't donate, you know. Just get out there and play and learn. Hey, Bill, Nick, listen to this. Nebraska is the team in the Big Ten that has played the least freshmen of any team in the Big Ten this year. Wisconsin played 15 freshmen last year, and Minnesota played 13 freshmen. And on the Saturday night game against Penn State and Michigan, Penn State played 7 freshmen, Michigan played 5. So I'll let you guys comment on that, but yeah, I'm kind of fired up with you guys. I want to see more guys in the field. 155 players, and you can't find 22 other guys? It's just stupid. But thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, all Dave. Right. Appreciate you.
Listen.
I correct Dave. It's been 19 weeks.
Hold on. Really quickly.
Since we've been another guy.
Can we all, the 12, all sit back and we heard millions, $1 million, one of my bank accounts.
Yeah. And he, jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu class. Dave is the most interesting man I know. Yeah, I used
ever.
To think it was you, Hooks.
No, it's him.
But you have, I am taking that throne from you.
Take it away.
And I'm playing it. Like, I thought you were the most interesting.
I will give it to you, by the way.
Because you have, like, you have all these, like, you have, like, all these stories. You'll tell these crazy stories. I'll bring up, like, some random thing and, oh, yeah, when I was met that guy.
Not
and I was
this guy.
No, I think.
He just told me not to make fun of his butter anymore, by the way, too, because he might.
Oh, dude, no.
He might come at me.
Jiu-jitsu.
Whatever it is.
It's not like that.
It's
He's gonna grab you, throw you to the ground, and put you in some weird position angle like your arm's falling off.
I just pictured,
or he'll put you to sleep.
I just
real
pictured
fast.
Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
No, well, kind of. There was like a little jiu-jitsu going
out.
There. He's not ripping out your throat.
No? Okay.
That's not jiu-jitsu. No. I mean, more likely to like snap an arm.
Sounds dangerous.
He's more likely to like break your arm or dislocate your shoulder or rip a leg off, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounded dangerous.
Yeah. He could like probably grab your toe and twist it until you cried. Like that kind of stuff. That's jujitsu.
Okay.
Okay.
Just sound dangerous. I didn't want any part of it.
You do not want to go to the ground with that guy. He will hurt you drastically. Keep it on your feet and hope he doesn't also train in Krav Maga or something like that. All right. That's, man, now when he brings in these cookies, I'm glad. I don't want to be on the wrong side of not getting cookies. I'll tell you that.
No.
Because Dave is an interesting cat.
Yeah,
I
he
like
is.
Him. Woo. Man. We should send Willie J to his maybe. Class. Would you go learn jujitsu with Dave, Willie J?
Possibly.
Of course, after hearing the money he can pull out of his bank account, we expect more treats or
Hold
upgraded
on, we might
treats.
Be off the air.
Some upgraded treats?
Yeah.
Well, here, what do you mean? Can we not go to break?
Apparently 1480's down, maybe.
Yeah, but we got 101.5.
That's right.
That's why we got two radio stations, bud.
Still a problem, though.
Just in case. That's all right.
The 12 will switch over.
We'll figure it out.
Can we take a commercial break, and then I'll go to let the powers that be know that 1480 might be down right now?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Let's do that.
Maybe, who knows? For all I know, Dave is out there and toward the tower down in some magic maneuver.
Or he's waiting in the parking lot.
Oh, crap. All right, we're going to take a break. Back after this.